praying that your spirit will abide with us, Father. Lord, I want to decrease. And Lord, you might increase, Father. Lord, we're in a time now that we need to hear from heaven. We don't need to hear any political wrangling. We don't need to hear any philosophy. God, we need your word, Father. We desire a word from the Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord. A word that will refresh us, God. Will renew us, God. Will invigorate us, God. That'll get us excited about the kingdom work that's set before us, God. Help us this morning, God. Give us listening ears and a receiving heart, Father, that, Lord, we might be doers of your word and not just hearers. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church, just on this week, we got some pretty exciting news. A hostage swap with Russia. I stayed up and watched as the airplane landed. And I watched the celebration of the families as they were reunited with each other. And I can only imagine the excitement that they felt when they had received the news that their loved ones would be released. How many of us would be just as excited if some of our loved ones were released from the bondage of sin? That's my prayer. And the only way that this can happen is through the preaching of the gospel. And as I'm celebrating and looking with these people, these families in great excitement, I'm reminded of us in the church. I'm reminded of God's church, the church that Jesus built. And I'm wondering how far we have become removed from the preaching of the gospel. And understand, not just the preaching of the gospel, but along with preaching the gospel, we need to live the gospel as well. You see, because you can say one thing and do completely another thing, and it's to ill effect. It has no effect on anybody. Begin to watch YouTube channels of how the church has now become an entertainment center. And it's more about getting our praise on. And when I say that, I'm not saying that slighting praise, because if your praise is for real, it ought to get on. I'm talking about this false praise where you're just looking to be seen by somebody. Our praise needs to be for real. Our worship needs to be for real. It needs to be something that is a sweet smell up to heaven. But it's sad to say, I don't know what we're sending up now. It's not even about that. It's about our lives glorifying God. We have the only good news. There is no other good news for the sin-sick soul. So we want to take a look. We want to take a look at a particular passage of scripture. And I'm going to ask you to reread the entire chapter in your own time. But we're going to look in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. First Corinthians, 15th chapter. We'll begin our reading at verse number 9. This is the Apostle Paul. First Corinthians 15, the 9th verse, it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. I'd like to pen for a thought this morning, but for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. Paul writes this letter in 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian church. This is his first epistle to this church. If you know anything about the Corinthian church had a whole lot of problems. They didn't just have a few problems here and there. Paul talked about how they had become carnal. Yes, sir. There was strife going on. There was favoritism, nepotism. There was all kinds of sin that were prevailing in this church of Corinth. In addition to that, they also had a problem with love. And we see that because Paul spends a whole chapter, the 13th chapter, teaching them what love really looks like. Because a church without love is not really a church at all. Paul deals with them. And he deals with them harshly. He deals with them so harshly that he writes 2 Corinthians to kind of smooth over some of the stuff that he deals with in this chapter, in this book, this first epistle. Because Paul wasn't playing. But there's a good place here for this Corinthian church. Because in the text, he opens up this text talking about the gospel message. The good news. And understand that's the foundation of our Christian walk, is the good news. For what would our faith be without the good news of Jesus Christ? What would our faith be without us still being in our sin and still unregenerated? It is the glorious gospel that ushers in the grace of God. And so he opens up this chapter like this. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Yes, the word there in the Greek actually means the good news. Yes, now, get this, because during this time, the good news or the gospel, this word gospel, was not just relegated to religious worship. It was any good news that were received at that time. But here Paul points out that this is the gospel in which he preached unto them, which tells us that this gospel must be preached if lives are going to be changed. And there's not one time that any preacher should get up before anybody and give a message and not share the gospel. It's not enough for me to tell you how jacked up, how messed up you are. I need to tell you how you can get out of it. I need to share with you the precious price that was paid for your salvation. I need to tell you about a man named Jesus that came down through 42 generations to live amongst us, to show us how to live. But not just show us how to live. Jesus showed us how to die. Because the reality of it is all of us are going to die. Here's the problem here. Where will you go when you die? Where will you go? Where will your soul spend eternity? You do know that it's going to exist forever, right? You do know that this is not it right down here. This is a proving ground down here. There is a life or a death beyond this life. And so he said, this gospel that I declared unto you, or I preached unto you, which, listen here, ye have received, and wherein ye stand. This is the good news. This is the good news of the Corinthians, that the gospel was preached. But what we see in this first verse here is that no matter what they were going through, no matter what the sin or whether, no matter what the circumstances that was in their lives, they were still standing on the word of God. They still stood. Here he said, you are still standing on the gospel. You say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, if you flip over to the book of Galatians, you see that Paul said that I am amazed that you have so soon separated yourself from the gospel. Yes, sir. But here this Corinthian church, as jacked up as they were, was still standing on the gospel message. In other words, listen, you can't take that away from me. I was just talking to my sister yesterday. She said, one thing that you can't take away from me is the gospel. I will believe that until the day I die. I don't care what anybody say. I don't care whatever discoveries they come out with or what philosophy they come up with. You cannot take the gospel from me. I'll believe it till the day that I die. And I believe it by faith. I believe it because I'm trusting that what God's word says is true. And here it is. You talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ stands by itself. It does not need anybody or anything or anyone to prop it up. It stands by itself. It stands alone. Why? Because it's from God. It comes from God. Paul had preached to this church. He had children from this church. Those had become saved under his preaching. He takes this opportunity to commend them for standing on the gospel. And here it is, if we have this church at Corinth, that Paul is commending about standing on the gospel. Why is it that we find ourselves in a predicament today to where folk are not standing on the gospel anymore? You see, the problem is that entertaining church, churches that entertain you and get you jumping and get you hyped, get you emotionally charged, are the ones that are filled with people. Because people want to feel good about their situation. They don't want to know the reality of what their situation really looks like. But understand this, that when you get real gospel preaching, that's what will take you from earth to eternity. That's the kind of preaching that will keep you, is good gospel preaching. Because when you really begin to see what the gospel means to you and how it affects you, how it drives you, then we have real results. But if I get to go out of here and we just waving hands and we jumping and shouting, you know, I'm gonna leave out of here empty. So there's not a whole lot of substance. Emotionalism is killing the church. Because people want to feel good. They want to say, yeah, come on, we come over here. We take praise break. We praise the Lord over here. Well, good as you praise the Lord in church, but you can't live outside the church. What good is that? What good is that? So with this gospel message that he gives them, and in case you don't know, the gospel message is that Jesus died for our sin according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose according to the scriptures. That's the gospel message. Listen, you may say, okay, that seems simple. And there's a simplicity about the gospel message. It is simple. But when it begins to interact in our lives, it becomes complex. Because I don't understand how my belief in what God did for me saves me and delivers me from sin. But I'm a living testimony that he has. And what it took is, it took me trusting in. See, because sometimes we use the word believe and y'all think it's just casual belief. No, this requires you trusting in. It means you anchoring yourself in this word and understand that what God did for me, what Jesus died for me, it was enough. As a matter of fact, there's absolutely nothing that I can bring to the table that will help the gospel alone. The only thing that I can bring is my faith and my trust in him. It ain't got nothing to do with me. And so therefore, the gospel of God ushers in the grace of God. Y'all didn't get that. The gospel of God ushers in the grace of God. God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is his unmerited favor. Cannot be earned. We don't deserve it. It's God's love, his compassion, his sovereignty, his loving kindness, all wrapped into one and ushered and given to us as a gift. And I don't know about you, but I know I certainly didn't deserve God's gift. I didn't deserve his grace. But understand, that's what makes his grace even more sweeter, the fact that I don't deserve it. But he gave it to me anyhow. It's the beauty of this whole thing. I struggle understanding God's love for me. I can't even comprehend it. Can't comprehend how he gives me this gift, and I did nothing but live a life of sin. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I was a wretch undone. And this is what Paul says here. He says it's the grace of God. It is his unmerited favor, his love towards humanity. Understand that grace is fundamental into the concept of Christianity. And it signifies God's free and generous gift of salvation and blessing to people regardless of their worthiness or their action. Not predicated on how well you perform. It's his grace. And understand that you ain't going to get off scot-free. Because his grace is free, there's still a righteous requirement that comes from us. You see, because there is a blending between the grace of God and our works. There's a unifying there. There's a collaboration there. I don't work to get the grace of God. I work as a result of the grace of God. Here's the thinking with me. I don't know about with you. But when I begin to think about God's goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul cries, hallelujah. His grace propels me. It compels me to give up and live a life of obedience unto him. How dare I keep stepping and trampling on the grace of God? He's been too good to me. Been too good to me. And I'm reminded of a story of a man who had a condition that required oxygen. The insurance company didn't pay for it. So he had to pay out of pocket. He required about the cost. He said it'd be about $200 per tank. And the man began to rejoice and to praise God at that time. The doctors couldn't understand why you're rejoicing. We just told you, you got to pay $200 for this oxygen. He said, for 70 years of my life, I've been breathing God's oxygen for free. He ain't charged me a dime for it. That's the grace of God. God don't charge you for oxygen. What if he charged you for oxygen? What if he charged you for water? Well, the city of Detroit charged you for water. But God did not charge you for the water you drink. What would you pay for good health? What would you pay for being in your right mind? There's some folks out there that's walking around that ain't in their right mind, but yet the grace of God is covering them. Yeah. Listen here. The grace of God is multidimensional. It goes beyond just saving grace. We all can identify, those who have been born again can identify with saving grace. But did you not know that there's a grace whereby we live by? As a matter of fact, the same grace that we receive from God, the same love and compassion that we receive from God is to be reciprocated unto others. So listen here. So if God forgave you much, you should be willing to what? You should be willing to forgive other folk. Well, I mean, what's of these Christians carrying these grudges? Folk we ain't talked to in years. Loved ones that we won't even interact with. That's the problem. We want God to give us grace. We expect grace. But when it comes down to it, and somebody wrongs us, someone does something that we don't like, somebody owe us some money. How many of us have God forgave our debt? Gave us up some stuff. Listen, I'm not by myself. Some of us have did some serious sin in here. We've all sinned. But much like the Apostle Paul, because he says it in the text, he said, listen, he said, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. He said, there was a time that I persecuted this very church that I'm a part of now. You do know that about the Apostle Paul, right? The Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. It was the Apostle Paul that carried the paperwork to kill Christians. He had the authority to snuff out this Christian sect. And Paul did it with great zeal. Until in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, he ran into this man Jesus. He came face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came face to face with the Savior. Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? This is the same Apostle Paul that is writing to this church right now. He was knocked off his horse, blinded. God saved him. Put him on a street called straight. This is what the gospel does for us. It saves our lives and it puts us on straight street. It allows us to walk in holiness, positional holiness. And understand, just like the Apostle Paul, the grace of God comes to transform our lives. As a matter of fact, that's our first point. A grace that transforms our identity. The Apostle Paul was a wretched man. As a matter of fact, even after salvation, he considered himself to be a wretched man because he realized that there was still some things God was working on in him. Understand that the grace of God is designed to transform your life. It's not for you to just sit back and get fat off of. It transformed your world. The word there for transform actually means metamorphosis. You know what that is, right? That's the changing from one thing to a completely different thing. And we all know one of the greatest examples of metamorphosis is what? That from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Now understand that the caterpillar begins as an egg. Yes. And then when it busts through the egg, it becomes a caterpillar. Right. You know those little crawly, creepy looking things? Yes. Signifies our life prior to Christ. Some of us was creeping and crawling in places we had no business creeping and crawling in. Look at here. When I was a little boy, I used to look for caterpillars. Don't judge me. I used to smash them. I used to step on them. But listen here, even in that, even when we were creeping and crawling, the grace of God was still keeping us. It was still keeping us. Even then, when you didn't even mean God no good, God was still keeping you. The grace was still covering you. Because the devil wanted to step on you, but God said, no, I got some plans for him. I got some plans for her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your kingdom. So when we come face to face with the gospel message and we receive the gospel message, then we begin to get wrapped up in the cocoon of Jesus. You see, this is where the changes begin to happen. But listen, this is the interesting part about this whole thing, because the change starts on the inside. And here's the other interesting part about it. You can't see it. Y'all missed that. Why are you sitting up waiting to see people change? They may be changing on the inside. You don't see it on the outside. So in other words, stop your judging of people and just let God do what he's going to do. The change is happening on the inside of the cocoon. As you begin to receive the word, listen here, let me tell you something. If you're coming in here to receive the word of God, that's what you need. You need to come. I don't care what you come in here looking like. You come in here and you receive this word because that's what's going to change you. It's the preaching of the gospel that will get these young men to pull their britches up. This preaching of the gospel is going to get these girls to lower their skirts. That's what it is. It's God. It's that working on the inside. And we are the ones that are to be the ones that nurture them, that help them, that be a blessing to them, that encourage them. Listen here. And yes, even instruct them. Got to instruct them. It takes instruction in love. You're absolutely right. Listen, this is some of the challenges we're going to be faced with on Saturday. At least I pray we are. That we'll be able to show what real Christian character and conduct look like. There's one thing that I've noticed about Macedonia is that Macedonia is genuine and really in everything that whatever it does. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good or bad. Sometimes we're genuinely bad. We want to be sure that we're genuinely good. Amen. In how we approach people. So here it is, Paul says that, listen, he said, I've been transformed, my life has been transformed. Paul spent some time in the cocoon learning of God's word. Learning how to be this Christian. But oh, when he blossomed, you see, because it takes growth to break from the cocoon. The problem in the church, we got too many cocoons in the church. And we need more people to break through the cocoon. The Bible says that there was a time, there's a time that you should be teachers of the word of God. Book of Hebrews. But you still need the milk of God's word. And that's what we need. We need folk that are able to break through the cocoon, that grow and mature in God's grace. That's why God's grace is here for us, that we might be able to grow in it. In other words, there's no punitive punishment for what we're doing or how we live. God gives us room to grow. Just because God gives you room to grow, don't you take advantage of that. Because God extends his mercy and his grace, don't you take that for granted. It's an opportunity for you to mature in God. It's an opportunity for you to grow. Listen, the wages of sin is death, and it's still death. But it's only by the grace of God that we don't experience death every time we sin, and all of us sin. It's by God's grace. And Paul says that my life has been changed. My identity has been changed. Why? Because I've been transformed. The Bible says we'd be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, you shouldn't think the same way that you used to think. Because however you're thinking in your heart, that's what you'll be. You need to start thinking a little bit higher than where you are. You keep thinking about being down there, that creepy, crawly caterpillar, and God wants to take you to the state of a butterfly. And so Paul, as he matures, he becomes a great apostle. Even though Paul said that he's not worthy to be called an apostle, Paul was the greatest apostle of all of them. It was Paul that wrote 13 books of the New Testament. It was Paul that planted church all throughout Asia Minor, Europe. Paul was the one that did. God used him to do that. So he's been transformed. His identity has been changed. Much in the same way, we go from being a sinner on our way to hell to being a sinner saved by grace. God saved us. And he saved us for a great work that he has for us to do. Paul performed a great work for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Much in the same way, he didn't save you just to save you. He did not save you for you to just stay the same way that you are. He saved you that he might transform your life. Why? Because there's a great work for us to do. Our second point is that we are grace that empowers our efforts. That empowers our efforts. Let's take a look at it. Verse number 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. In other words, here Paul says that because of the goodness of God, because of what God has done in my life, because he's transformed my life, now I have given my life in sacrifice and service to the Lord. And Paul's thing was, I'm not going to let anybody outwork me, including all of those ones that came up with Jesus. You see, Paul didn't come up with Jesus. Paul came up as an apostle out of season. As he characterized himself as. But he said all of these ones that walked with him, Paul said that I outworked them. You read that on the surface, you think, well, Paul is a little puffed up. But no, Paul is speaking reality. Paul is speaking truth. Because it is Paul who was taking the lead of all of the apostles. It was Paul that checked Peter, who was the leader at the time, about his racist behavior. It was Paul that set doctrine in the church. God used him. He said, it wasn't me. It was by the grace of God. And he received this power by the unction of the Holy Ghost. He was up underneath the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. It was the grace of God that was on his life. that empowered him to be able to preach the gospel. And even though folk didn't like it, he was stoned, left for dead. He was beat, left for dead. They had to lower him down the side of the wall in a basket to preserve his life. But it didn't matter. Paul kept on preaching. Paul kept on working. Paul kept on serving. What's our issues? I hate to say that. But we become hangnail Christians. We get a hangnail and we're ready to sit out. Little bit of adversity. We find reasons why not to work, why not to serve. Listen, I'm not talking about us because we do a great job here at Master Dungeon Guy. I'm preaching to about the whole church. How many of us Christians out in the streets being a witness, being effective for the glory of God? If they were going to lock us up for being Christians, how many would still go forth and preach the gospel? How many of us are willing to surrender all for God? We talk a real good game. I don't pick on myself. When I first started preaching, I working at Chrysler at the time, I was working day shift. Had a good job on day shift. And I remember, I think it was maybe my second sermon, I said, God, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do. The next week I got bumped to afternoon shift. I was complaining. I said, God, I don't want to be on an afternoon shift. I ain't never worked afternoon shift a day in my life. I was complaining. And God brought it right back to me. Wait, you just told me, for God I live and for God I die. Let me show you how this worked out. How this worked out is that God allowed me to start a Bible study on that afternoon shift that blew up. There were people, we were packing rooms out in this Bible study. There was a purpose for me. There was a reason for me to be there. And God has a purpose and a work for you as well. And you cannot let sin and this world stop you from glorifying God in your work. You can't let it happen. Because that's what he desires to do. Paul said, listen, I outworked all of the apostles. He said, it's not me, but it's the grace that is within me. He said, everything that I am because of what? God's grace, because of his goodness to me. And the truth be told, everything that you are is because of the grace of God. And the moment you start taking credit for it, you did God an injustice. It's by the grace of God that you are who you are. It's at the grace of God that you have the job that you have. You think it's your education that got you that job. No, it's the grace of God that got you that job. I think because we've been so smart. We've been so cute. No, it's by God's grace. Look at here. He goes on and says, he said, but the grace of God is with me. In other words, it stays with it. And when it talks about it's with me, it will always be with us. We can't separate ourselves from the grace of God. No matter where you go, God's grace is going to cover you. He'll keep you. It's the grace that keeps me. Then we want to take a look. Our last point is the grace unites our message. Here's the problem that the church is having today, because there's far too many messages that are going forth that are contradicting what the Word of God says. We have one centralized message that mankind is hopelessly in sin. There's absolutely nothing that you can do about your sinfulness, my sinfulness. I can't fix myself. Psychiatrists cannot fix us. There are some things that doctors cannot fix in us. It takes an almighty God to fix us. And this is the message that needs to be going forth. We don't need to be giving any type of political statements or anything like that. We need to be telling them what can fix us. First and foremost, we need to be told that we are sinners, that we do commit sin. Yeah, absolutely. I know some people don't like that, but it's the truth of the matter. Because even on your best day, you still stink in the nostril of God. It takes the grace of God to get you where you need to be at. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how much good works you do. It doesn't mean anything unless you've come by faith through the grace of God. Jesus Christ said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It takes the grace of God to get us in. The story is told of a man who's a very philanthropic man. He gave a lot. Gave time, gave his service. And he thought that that would be enough to get him into heaven. He thought if he just do good, if he treated people right, if he treated people good, that he would get into heaven. Well, one day he died. And he showed up at the pearly gates. And when he began to lay out his story about all that he had done, all the people that he had blessed, all the things that he had done to be a blessing in people's lives, the money that he had given, sadly, he was told, everything that you have has been rejected. Simply because you neglected the one thing that would have bought your ticket into heaven. And that is Jesus Christ. And I hope that you're not sitting here today thinking that your good works, your own human efforts will get you into heaven. There's a sin debt that needs to be paid. And you need to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. You need to acknowledge the fact that I have sinned, that I stand guilty before God. You need to acknowledge, not just acknowledge it, but be willing to change the way you think about it and turn away from it. That is called repentance. And understand that there is no salvation without genuine repentance. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Your good works, your efforts will not get it. Certainly your sinful life won't get it. You need, now need to be transformed by the glory of God, by the grace of God. And I look at how God has been transforming my life. And I'm still under construction. God is still working on me. There's still some stuff in my life that God is trying to get out. God and I, we battle on a constant basis. Because there's some time that I still want my way. God says, and listen, your way has done nothing but get you in trouble. Every time I allow you to have your way, you end up right back here in front of me. Tears filled in your eyes. Because I want my way. But it's God's grace. It's the grace of God that prevails in the life of the believer. It's what transforms us. It's what gives us the power to be able to do what God has called us to do. And listen, there's a great work. There's a lot of work for us to do. We still must fulfill the Great Commission. But it's the goodness of God. It's the grace of God. But for the grace of God, where would I be? But for the grace of God, where would you be at? It's the grace of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How he died for our sins. suffered, bled, and died on our old rugged cross. They nailed him in his hands, nailed him in his feet, put a crown of thorns on his head, pierced him in his side. He died on you, for you and for me. He gave his very life for us. And for that, I am eternally grateful for. I'm thankful for the gospel message. I'm thankful for what it has done in my life, the change that it has made in my life. Aren't you tired? Jesus died that you might be, and I might be able to be changed. The record declared that he was buried in a tomb, but he rose on the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Anybody can testify to that? It is the gospel message that which I have received, I declare unto you that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day for your sins. But guess what? He's also coming back again. He's going to rapture his church off the earth. And that's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you receive it? Please stand to your feet. But for the grace is there one that will come? Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Is there another? Is there another? God's grace is covering. Well, understand, if you leave here without the shed blood of Jesus Christ covering your life, you'll be eternally lost. The Bible says, harden not your heart. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Is there another? You may be seated.
Good afternoon, Macedonia Baptist Church. Today we have coming by Christian experience, Courtney Wilson Sr., and he's coming from St. John Lutheran.
Amen. Give me. God bless you. How you doing, my brother? You all right? All right. God bless you. You come by Christian experience means you have experience as being a Christian. You have already been born again, blood washed. Amen. Listen, we are certainly excited about having you. I know that God wants to do some things with you in this ministry here. And we're going to receive you, man, and give you the right hand of fellowship on next first Sunday. I'm going to ask that you'll now go with Reverend Bannister, and they will have prayer with you and have you fill out some information, okay? All right, God bless you, man. Prepare for our clerk to come now and read the names of our candidates of baptism. We ask that you sit prayerfully as you read the names.
Good afternoon again. Macedonia Baptist Church, new members as of today, August 4th, 2024. As I call your name, would you please come down front and face Pastor Minor? I'm going to call the candidates for baptism first. We have Brianna George Council. We have Dominique Miles. By Christian experience, we have Vicky Couch.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Come on, church, give the Lord a hand, clap of praise. Amen. These have come, baptism and candidate for baptism and Christian experience. We're going to ask you to say your public profession of faith, and simply we just want you to hear, say that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. We'll start with you, Sister Carol. Amen, amen, amen. Listen here, now that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, how long will you serve him?
Forever.
Forever is a good time. Amen. That's a time and eternity as well. Will you serve him by witnessing to others about the goodness of Jesus Christ and give your testimony?
Yes.
Amen. Will you make it a point to be at church regularly?
Yes.
Will you make it a point to try and get to Sunday school and Bible study? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. You're in that cocoon. It's time for you to start learning more about the Lord, that you might be able to grow and mature in God. That's how this thing really works, is that you're working to maturity. Okay? All right. God bless you. I'm going to ask you now that if you will just turn around. Congregation, please stand. This is your new church family. I'm going to ask you as a church to pray for them. I'm going to ask you also to surround them. There's some mentors that need to take hold to these young ladies and mentor them, because there's a way and a standard that God has for our lives. You can take your seat over here to the side if you would. Amen. Let us prepare for our communion. Our communion scripture will come from the 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. Begin at verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup,